Welcome to the Inspired Action Podcast. This is where we have motivational, inspiring conversations and interviews that we hope you'll enjoy listening to.
Join us and other inspired actioneers on this alchemical, transformational journey.
Welcome back to the Inspired Action Podcast. This is Pod 121. My name is Jay, and I'm here with my watery co-host, as always, Leader Herman. Can you be water today?
Yes, I can. I have water in my stack up for sure. Welcome back, Inspired Actioneers. We know all the waters have been waiting and waiting for this episode to come out.
Anticipation.
All right.
Let's just dive right in.
Yeah.
With a little going into the water. Let's go in the deep end.
Yeah, there you go. So, well, it's just...
I think you're already stumped. Are you waiting for a chance to...
Yes. Well, waters do like to jump into the deep end and swim with the current. And
wait, do they like to jump into it or over it or under it or just jump right in?
Well, a lot of them just love to swim.
Swim. They love water. Water loves water.
They love going with the current. And in fact, they're all about movement.
Yes, they love to move it, move it. They like to, that's a little old school Madagascar. If you're like, where's that from? It sounded just like that too.
Yes.
It just made me think of water when you said that because they like to move it, move it.
I like to move it, move it. I like to move it. Like
but it's not move just it, movement move all the time. It's alternating movement with stillness.
So they like to move it, move it sometimes. Move it, move it sometimes. Move it, move it sometimes.
Yes. But the rest of us often don't know. When waters are moving, they feel calm and still on the inside. And when they're sitting still, they feel like really activated.
Is that our first secret on water?
There you go.
What is it? Say it again. First secret of water is, besides, they like to move it sometimes. Move it, move it sometimes.
Well, I guess it's that stillness and movement happens simultaneously for them all the time. When something's moving, that makes them feel still. And when something is still, then they feel very active and moving as well.
Yeah, I also have water in my top three. So I get that. I understand it. It can be challenging. And
yes.
It's challenging for other people looking in, not really knowing what's going on. So there is more to water than meets the eye. That's for sure. That could be a number two secret right off the bat. Because they're not what you think.
Yes. And, you know, sometimes they're criticized because they do like to kind of lie around a lot.
Well, we have that lovingly joke about the couch potato mode, which when they are regrouping, so they're not really just being lazy.
Right.
Maybe an appearance. They're regrouping. They're re-energizing. They're resting after they put out a lot of energy, probably doing something like dancing or hiking or swimming.
Yes.
Okay. They're not doing nothing or playing video games. Right?
Yes.
They got a lot going on. Even if it's like, you know, playing the video game Super Mario Brothers. Wait. That game is really old. Do they still play Super Mario Brothers?
I don't know.
Okay, anyone out there, educate me. What is the new Mario Brothers game out there that the water couch potatoes are playing on their Switch? I know they have a Switch now, but let me know what's playing out there. I used to play video games.
Well, yeah, I think that's a perfect thing for waters who are resting because they're doing something, and often a video game is the perfect thing to do while
you're being
a couch potato.
You're saying they're doing something while they're doing nothing.
Exactly.
No, they're doing nothing while they're doing something.
Right.
Video games, perfect for that.
Perfect. So, you know, and so they also can do that for a really long period of time, like longer than most everyone else, Jay.
Yeah, I guess so. That's the stamina.
Yes.
Right. So wait, before we go any further on the stamina.
Yes.
What is going on in the learning center?
Well, actually, before we talk about the learning center, we should say that we have a new podcast that I did with Chiological.
Yay. So, number two?
Yeah, the second
two.
One with Michael
so
Mack.
We are making the water people wait even more.
Yes.
Just a couple minutes, I promise.
Yes.
So, Chiological, Michael Mack, and you're going to talk about the nine palaces. You're going to talk about the top four of the nine palaces.
Yes, and it's a really cool conversation. So if you haven't heard it yet, go over to Chiological and check that out.
And maybe if people like it, you'll do the other five palaces.
Yeah, maybe.
Or maybe not.
That's a good idea.
I'm just saying. So yes, that's really great. And you also have another podcast. We have a podcast coming out with Ann Cecil Sturman that's going to come out the following after this one. We're pretty certain on that. And so that's pretty great. And it was a really good interview. I've also listened to that. It's fun. It's great. Keep that on your radar. We'll send you an email or something to let you know what's going on in the Inspired Action podcast world.
Yes. And as we've discussed before, we have a number of really interesting classes in the Alchemy Learning
Center.
Well,
we think they're interesting.
Yes. And if you are new to the podcast and perhaps you heard us on Geological or someplace like that, and you're interested more in the Nine Palaces, we have a class on the Nine Palaces.
What?
Yes.
And what is that class called?
It's called the Nine Palaces of the Heart.
Wow, that is a good name.
Yes, and that's
about the Nine Palaces.
Yeah, of the heart.
Of the heart.
And the idea for those of you who are new to the podcast is each of these elements that we're going through has one or two of the Nine Palaces associated with it, which just means it's kind of themes in your lifetime.
So it's five elements, nine palaces, alchemy, ghost points. We got it all there.
Yeah.
And we're always adding new things. We got tons of meditations.
Yes.
And all kinds of great stuff. So check out the Alchemy Learning Center. .com
there
for that.
Go.
And we also have some new webinars we put up there, some learning, life learning events, the flow and the love. And those have been very popular. Thank you, everyone, for coming and visiting those. We very much appreciate it. We have so many new listeners from around the world. Again, thrilled. If you have a second, please do a rate and review because it's getting out there. It's spreading. It's spreading like a little tiny wildfire.
There you go.
Right? A little tiny wildfire. We love it. Thank you very much. So if you have a second and you like any moment of this podcast, even like a second, please go over and do a rate and review. It really does help.
And if you rate or review us, well, particularly if you write a review, send us a copy of it. Take a little screenshot.
Just tell us in an email.
And send it to Lita@InspiredActionPodcast.com or Jay@InspiredActionPodcast.com. And we will send you some lovely
swag. Hat, t-shirt, cup, mug, sticker.
I don't know. You sound very enticing, Jay.
We have a lot of cool stuff. Some people are like, I have enough t-shirts, but I love that hat. Or I have too many hats, I'll take that t-shirt. Or some people are like, just send me a mug.
Yeah.
I don't, whatever you want, we got.
We would love to send you a present. Just send us your review.
Well, you made it sound much better. We'd love to send you a present.
Yes.
Yes. So if you love the Inspired Action podcast, we got it. So
just to show you our gratitude.
Yes.
So
and thank
you.
There's a lot of gratitude. So I think that's pretty good, right? Anything else?
That's it.
Okay. So that's great. So alchemylearningcenter.com. Check it out. And also if you want to send your video of your walks, we've been getting a lot of those lately.
Yes.
So keep them coming. That's great. Awesome. Thank you very much. And let's get back to water. We made them wait long enough. Okay, so we already talked about move it, couch potatoes.
Yes.
They're not what they appear.
And the stamina that they have.
Yes, lots of stamina. When they want it.
Yes.
When they want it.
Yeah. And
when they need it.
And woods also do a lot. Both water and woods, they do a lot. They're about doingness. But wood does it in little spurts, and water does it for long periods of time.
Yeah, they certainly can do stuff way longer than I can do.
Yeah.
Like, I thought I could, but they're like crazy, could go forever.
Like, you do like 2-hour stints.
I get a lot done in 2 hours.
Yes.
A lot done.
Yes, but water is just like this unstoppable energy. It just keeps going and going until it stops. Then it's drained, and then waters need to rest.
So they are the doers of the world, for sure. And they get their wisdom from doing.
Yes. Yeah. And we're going to talk a lot about that today. But let's just talk about the word inertia, because that explains it.
There's no song with that title in it. I'm so sorry.
Well, it is sort of a secret. What is it about water that just keeps going and going? Like, when woods are ready to take a break, that's when waters are just finished warming up. You know, it's like, I always joke when they want to clean their house that they might, you know, just be doing something random and suddenly start cleaning some little thing. And then the entire day goes by and they have cleaned everything in their entire house. And it literally took them all day, but then they'll stop and they'll rest.
I think that's when they get in the wu-wei.
Yeah.
They just get like in a zone.
Mm-hmm.
They're just they've got momentum. They got inertia. There's your word. You're right. That is a great word.
Because inertia, the definition of inertia is something that stays in whatever state it's in. If it's in a moving state, it continues to move. If it's in a static state, it will stay resting. And so that's what water is like. They want to stay in whatever state they're in for as long as possible. Whether that's stillness or movement, it doesn't matter. They just want to stay in that state for as long as possible.
I like it. That could be like a mini secret. Yeah. That's true. It's a good explanation.
Yeah. So when some external force comes along to change that state they're in, yes, then they might change it. So if they're cleaning their house all day, but a friend stops over and says, hey, let's get some pizza, that might be a good enough reason to stop cleaning your house all day.
What kind of pizza?
Hey, you know, maybe like sun-dried tomatoes. Isn't that your favorite?
You have to do better than that. I'm cleaning the house. No, maybe a movie, pizza, video games. Yeah,
there
anything to stop that inertia.
There you go.
And they're very happy. They'll get back to it again eventually.
Yes.
In like a month.
Yes, yes, that's the thing. Like, even though they like things to be relatively where they need to be in their house, they can get a little messy, and it does take them maybe a little longer to pick up than other
And you
elements.
Also have the waters that are extremely organized.
Yes, those are like, the water,
you know,
woods.
Yeah, they have like this organizational thing different than metal.
Yeah.
The spatial for the metal. This is like, you know, they're the ones that have everything in their place.
Yes.
In the right place.
But even the neatest waters out there temporarily can be quite messy.
Yeah, they can spill over.
They spill out all over the place, but those water woods will kind of clean up more quickly than some of the other water types.
Yes, they are a special breed. They're also the most powerful force in the elemental world. So.
Yes, if you have water and wood second, you are the powerhouse of the world.
And you probably have a very tidy house.
Yes, yes. And so let's talk about water in terms of energy. Energy in and energy out. So life can be really exhausting in general, and waters are acutely aware of how their energy is spent in any moment. So if they're running out of energy, they know that and they stop to refill the tanks. They need to refill their energy.
Whether that's food, water, rest, energy, snacks.
Yes.
You name it. They need to refill. So, yeah. And that's a good way if they are aware of that.
Yep.
You know, they are the guardians of the resources for sure.
And it is a little bit like earth. Earth and water both share a need for self-care. Whereas earth's, it's more like, you know, they need a bath, they need to, you know, go for a massage or something like that. But really with water, it's just needing to be horizontal for a period of time. It doesn't have to be long. They need to take a break. Even if it's 15 or 20 minutes, you know, they'll often call it a nap maybe, but it's just a break.
And sometimes there's pizza involved.
And sometimes. Yes, definitely.
Yeah, I get it. So we're calling a nap a break.
Yes.
In the inertia. And a bonus if there's pizza involved.
Yes.
Yes,
and so
I agree.
Let's think about the big picture for water since we've done this for all the other elements. There are a couple concepts we need to really understand to really know our waters. And the first is that water is the most varied of all the elements. Pretty much anything we say that waters are specifically, there's going to be a bunch of exceptions. Because think about water itself. There's the still pond, the babbling brook, the rushing river, the waterfall, the ocean, the tsunami. It's like these are all states of water.
So as soon as you say they're this, they're that.
Yeah.
Don't put them in a box.
Right.
Not even a bucket.
They hate being put into a box. Yes. Don't put them in a bucket.
No, they don't like it.
No.
They want to be different, and they are, and they're unique, and they're fun, and they're quirky, and they're eclectic, and they're just awesome. Like, they're just unpredictable.
That's what they love.
Yeah.
They love that. Now, in terms of water as an element, they're also associated with the season of winter. And many of them love the season winter. Not all, but many do. And if you think about what the winter signifies, you know, when we talked about metal in the last podcast, the metal leaf, we said, you know, is basically leaving the mother tree and then having this wonderful magic carpet ride down to the earth. But eventually, it lands on the earth, it mulches and integrates into a new life. Now, winter helps that leaf undergo a transformation. So those cold, dark months, they help the ground amass the nutrients so that new energy can be created and really create limitless potential. So, you know, if there's an acorn or a seed in that ground, anything can happen. Something's going to grow out of those nutrients. So when the next spring arrives, it'll bring a new powerful force into the world, a rebirth.
That makes me think instantly of yin and yang. So yeah. Let's talk about that with the water element.
Yes. Good. So we've talked.
Thank you.
Yes. Thank you.
A plus.
We've talked about yin and yang energies for all the other elements. So water is double yin. That means it's yin on the inside and yin on the outside.
Is that like subdued, very subdued?
It is, and it's not.
See, I knew you were going to say that.
Yes, because the weird thing about being double yin.
Wait, don't say weird.
Oh, well, okay. The unusual thing about being double
unusual,
yin.
Weird, unusual. How about the unpredictable?
Yes, the unpredictable.
I know what the water's like, you know.
It is unpredictable because even though it might be quiet for quite a bit of time and still, that energy starts to build and build and build until it explodes into yang like a volcano.
Or a geyser.
Or a geyser.
About a geyser, yes. With the water.
Yes, we talk about that often. So it's this idea that, you know, something still actually has power in it. And that's the double yin.
Yeah, when that energy is released, it can be relentless. It can be unstoppable. It can be a force of nature.
Yes. So think of water coming down a mountain. And it's coming down the mountain. And when it reaches flat land, it then continues forward relentlessly towards the ocean. When a rushing river of water comes your way, it's like an unstoppable freight train. You have two choices. You either get out of the way or you get swept away.
Nothing can stop water.
Yeah.
Right? Nothing. You can try to hold it. You can try to stop it. You can try to dam it. But in the end, water's always going to win. It's always going to be the victor.
Think about the tsunami. You know, forget it. You can't stop a tsunami.
No, you can try, but you can't do it.
Yes. And so the other thing about the mountain analogy that's also different than like wood, for example, you know, wood always goes from point A to point B, like a straight shot, like a straight arrow. And water doesn't always need to do that. It also doesn't take one path down the mountain at a time. It goes all the paths down the mountain at the same time.
It could also meander. It could take detours. It could just also split off and go streamy, slow, babbling for a while.
Yes.
Yeah, I think that, you know.
Very individualistic.
Yeah, and it can go slow and then fast and then slow and then fast.
Yes.
Yeah, that could be part of the water trying to stay in control or even to try to get out of control.
Yes, yes.
Right? Water likes that too.
Very unpredictable in nature. And it can be calm and cool and collected in 1 minute. And then suddenly that tsunami or that geyser in another minute.
Or I'll keep going with that. A still pond 1 minute. Babbling brook, like I just said. Rushing river. There's so many ways to describe water. It goes on and on and on. So I'm going to say definitively that definitely one of the secrets are they're unpredictable in some way, in any way, in all the ways.
Yes.
Even the most reliable waters can be unpredictable in the way they move, the way they act, suddenly, unexpectedly.
Yes.
No predicting them.
And I always know when a water comes into our clinic because we have a little bell on the door. And when they yank open that door, it jangles a lot more than all the other elements.
And usually Xena goes, arr!
Yes.
We know it's water.
Yes. It's a telltale sign.
Yes, yes, yes. And I also think of the movie, you know, what is that movie that came out and won all the Academy Awards? Everything All the Time.
Yeah. Everything, like, Everywhere All at Once.
That's a water movie.
Yes.
Right? That's it. That's water.
That's water. So, and that's perfect because really water is about being all five elements on some level.
There you go. How about that?
Yeah. So if you've always thought maybe I'm this element and I'm that element and I'm that element, it's probable, not always, but it might be likely.
That is definitely a secret if you're trying to figure out waters, because we do it all the time.
Yeah.
Every time someone says, I think I'm all of them, we laugh and we go, yes.
That
means
you're water.
And they're like, no, I want to be this or that or this or that. And they come around eventually. They're almost always water.
But it's important to know what kind of water based on the second element they are. They are very, very different depending on the second element.
I agree.
We did say wood. We said water, wood is one kind, very organized, very powerful. But they might be water, fire. Maybe they're really interested in relationships. Or they might be water, earth, and they might be very social and community oriented. or they might be water metal and quiet a lot of the time.
Yeah, there are so many variations that we could talk about, but let's talk a little bit about the fast and slow water.
Yes, so this is one characteristic we can talk about a lot with waters is, are you the fast water or the slow water?
And they always say, which one's best? Yeah. Or which, tell me about them both.
And, you know, it's funny, there. It's not every water can be alternately fast or slow in any given situation. But what we're trying to understand is, what's their natural state? Is it more the slow water, that kind of like trickling stream maybe? Or is it the rushing river fast water? And it's like, that's their natural state. What is their natural state?
Yeah, I think the slow water is just moving at a slower pace than the rest of the world. Fast water is just moving at a faster pace than most of the world. However, the slower pace, it's not a sign of intelligence or enthusiasm or motivation. It's just they're moving at a slower pace. And I think people who are studying the elements really, really need to appreciate that.
Yes.
And understand that. It's not a, you know, a good or bad or right or wrong. It's slow versus fast.
Exactly.
You know, it's like they are both very, very powerful.
Yes. And it's states of unrelenting activity. Even if you're moving slow, it doesn't mean that you don't have that stamina or that you couldn't move fast at any given moment if you choose to. You can move very suddenly, very fast, even if your state is slower. The slower water, they're just more conscious of how much energy output they're doing. Like when we were in the desert in China, when we were in
the Gobi Desert,
riding camels, we watched how the camels move slow. And we watched that they conserve their energy.
You taught me how to walk in the desert.
Yes.
Like the camel.
Yes. And so that's kind of what those waters are doing.
It was painfully slow for me, but it worked.
Yes. And they don't waste energy, valuable energy in that level of heat.
Yep. You said, get in your water mound, walk like a camel.
Yeah. So think of it. It's like a drought. So waters in a drought, maybe they have to be more aware of how
I didn't have the water hump, though.
Yeah. No.
I had a water bladder like a camelback. camelback, right?
There you go.
Yeah. No, it was great. It was a really good lesson on how to conserve energy.
Yeah. So let's dive a little deeper. And the next secret we want to talk about is something that I like to call inventory control, which is about that energy management, like the camel.
I always say they're the master of the resources.
Yes.
Your water, everyone has water in you somewhere in your stack up, but that's your water manages your resources.
It's kind of like when people talk about cash flow. Money's coming in and money's going out, and we're all aware of our cash flow in our lives, but waters are incredibly aware of all the resources coming in and all the resources that are going out.
Including their cash, because they love to squirrel their nuts away.
They really do.
Right? They squirrel the little money piles everywhere.
They're like
literally
squirrels.
And figuratively.
Yes. And it could be the food in their cabinets. It could be the electricity bills. It could be their own personal energy, as
quarters,
we
collection
about.
Of quarters or half dollars or, you know, $50 bills. They like to collect the
remember Beanie Babies? I think a lot of waters collect Beanie Babies.
I think the motion of that was the collection of the Beanie Babies. All big collections,
baseball
I think.
Baseball cards, you name it.
Pet rocks.
Yes.
Right?
Pet rocks, yes.
Yeah, water people like to collect.
So
that's a secret.
Yes, that is a secret.
They don't want you to know that for sure.
Yes, because they've got it squirreled away.
And then you'll collect more than they collect, and then they won't have the good, better collection.
Well, don't squirrels hide their nuts because they don't want other squirrels to find
right.
them?
Right, so water. So there's a secret. If you have a water friend, or if it's even you, you are a collector of something. I'm pretty certain you collect
pretty
something.
Pretty certain. So we call that function again inventory control in Chinese medicine. And
they could even collect adventures, right? Trips or adventures or things.
Yes.
Waters love to
experiences.
They could collect those. I know a lot of people
for sure.
A lot of trips in their water.
Yes. So we call this function inventory control in Chinese medicine because they believe that the office of the government that waters held controlled the waterways in the kingdom, like the locks.
Like, would you say the faucets?
Yes.
Like in a sink?
Yes. But how that water flows through the kingdom in ancient times.
Yes.
And they would control that.
Sure. So they had all the power of who gets what, where, when, and how.
And this is why it's so important to think about water careers, because this function is kind of hard to understand in modern days. But I mean, definitely, you know, we're not talking about the water.
There's no more, not a big demand for water locksmiths.
No.
Right?
No, but like if in the business world, they would be great buyers or someone who monitors energy flow, like in a gas company, like a natural gas company, someone who's making sure the flow of gas doesn't blow something up.
Or like in The Simpsons, Homer Simpson with the flow of the nuclear.
Yes, right. Exactly.
That's not a good match. I don't know. I don't think he was water.
I don't think so.
But he was not good for that job. But a water person probably was.
Yeah. In fact, we're going to talk later about how vigilant they are. So they are going to be the ones who really, really care. They're not going to make a mistake and blow everything sky high.
Like Homer does, like right. Every other episode. Yeah. So, yeah, I think that that's really true about how they really do like to control the flow of life.
Yeah, so that's...
For themselves and others.
Yeah.
They might not be that good for themselves, but they're very good for others.
Right. So any job where they're like buying things to help, you know, bring in resources or monitoring the outflow of things, that would be a really neat job for them.
I think if there was a head Beanie Baby master collector, that would be like a really good job.
Yes,
but
definitely.
Some people are like, what's a Beanie Baby? Just a stupid invention that sucked all the money out of our wallets.
Yeah, there
for like
you go.
5 years.
Yes. And they also are the safety monitors of the world, as I was getting to. They like to make sure that everyone is safe.
Including the Beanie Babies.
Yes, including the Beanie Babies.
Well, that's why they put them in cases, in plastic cases, and then bags, and then in big cabinets. They're keeping the Beanie Babies safe.
So the other thing that relates to this characteristic that we love about water is the state of readiness and anticipation.
I was waiting for you to say that. I was waiting and waiting.
And it's a constant state of watching and waiting.
So what's a good job for that? What's the hurry up and wait job?
Well, it definitely is a monitoring job.
Yeah.
They will wait and wait and
well,
wait
we
and
also
watch.
Said emergency personnel, like
yes,
EMTs. Sometimes police,
sure.
Fire people.
Yes.
Hurry up and wait.
Hurry
acting,
up.
A lot of actors and comedians.
Yes.
Definitely hurry up and wait.
Hurry up and wait. And what are they waiting for? You know, I'm always wondering, what are they waiting for? It's timing. They're just waiting for the right moment to move.
I just thought another one, ER doctor.
Yeah,
right.
For
ER
sure.
Nurse, ER doctor.
For sure.
Yeah.
And it's like they have this big, powerful engine embedded in their lower back, just revving and revving and revving.
And they love. Often when I'm coaching with someone and I explain it, it's like when you aim at a target with a bow and an arrow and you pull back the string and you're waiting. That's the water anticipation. They're waiting and then they release it and the arrow goes.
Then that becomes wood.
Then it goes to wood and they're like, next.
Yes.
Pull the other one back.
Yeah.
So I always say to the people, enjoy the time when the string is back.
Yeah.
Because that's it. That's it. That is it. And
that's
you know exactly, if you trust yourself, you know exactly, which is water, when to let that go. That's the gift.
Yeah.
Right? No right or wrong. No perfect. Just perfect.
Yeah.
Then it's next. Pull another arrow out.
Yes.
You can channel your inner Egolas from LOTR. Right, pulling out. He has like 3 arrows in the quiver and he slays like 1,000 orcs with 3 arrows. But you know, it's that anticipation.
Yes.
That's water when they're having their adventures.
Yeah. And so when they're in that state of anticipation, it's about what's going to happen next. And that is the thrill of living for waters. It is the waiting and the watching and being ready for anything. So we like to say that waters live in the realm of all possibilities.
Yeah, probably not a lot of jobs for archers either these days.
No.
No archers, no water locksmithers. I don't even know if it's called water locksmithing, but there's locksmithing, so water locksmithing.
Yes.
I don't know. But yeah, they live in that state. Vroom, vroom, right?
Yeah.
I'm catching up.
And where is it going to take you? You don't know, but
they don't care.
That's the thrill. It can be anything at any moment, and they're ready.
Yeah.
We always say they're ready for anything. And it can be dramatic and even better. Like the drama of life is super fun, and they love that just like thrill of life. And then they need to rest again.
Well, in our book, we had the chapter title for water, drama, trauma, and the Dalai Lama.
Yes.
All right. So that's the three of the water.
Yes, because the drama is a positive thing. It's anticipation. It's the thrill of living. The trauma is that sometimes when you do a lot of drama, you get some trauma.
Yeah.
And the Dalai Lama is the wisdom.
And which, going deep.
And the going deep, which we're going to get to. So we're going to talk about that in a minute. But just in terms of everything that we just said, they also are really good at crisis management. That could be another job.
Yeah. That's why I said the EMT, the ER doctors and nurses. You know,
yeah, because
preschool teachers, kindergarten teachers.
Because they really,
come on.
Preschool teachers.
EMT, emergency nurses, you know, preschool, kindergarten teachers.
Yes, yes. Well, yeah, there's a lot there as well, crisis management. But
a lot of water management, too.
Yeah, a lot of water management.
But I don't know where this podcast is going, so we just went down another channel of water, so I don't know where we are anymore.
We're talking about crisis management, Jay.
Oh, there we go.
You started talking about little kids, but anyway, okay.
No, I meant little kids going to the bathroom of the water management, of the teachers.
I didn't get
a lot
that.
Of management going on. Or mismanagement if they don't catch it in time.
Well, yes, mismanagement.
Yes, that's crisis.
Of the water.
Yes.
That is a crisis. I'm getting it. I'm
too many
it.
Juice boxes by 10. We've got problems before nap time. Okay, I'm just water.
You're on a roll.
Water crisis.
You're on a water roll. All right. So, in terms of crisis management, one of the gifts of water.
Unpredictable. I don't know where it's going today.
One of the gifts of water is that you can make decisions very quickly in the moment, and they work best under pressure.
Absolutely.
Jay.
Best under pressure. We'll go back to the teacher with the juice box. They move fast. Come, 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 come. Let's go, let's go, let's go, let's go. Well, they know what's going to happen.
Yes. But they work best under pressure in an emergency,
yes.
But they also are the most procrastinating types as well.
When they're not working.
Or when they're kind of putting things off and they're not on a tight deadline.
Yeah.
And often the procrastination ends up putting them under a tight deadline.
I would say
deadline.
That is a secret they do not want revealed, is they do not do well with deadlines. They are always at the last minute, at the last second, cramming it in.
But they often
they are never early.
They procrastinate, which makes the deadline come
barely.
Up.
Barely. They're
right.
Always at the very, very, very last minute.
Well, this is the question then, Jay. Is that unconsciously how they really want to work? Because they
like
work,
the excitement, I think.
Yeah, they work well under pressure, even though it's a little painful. And
painful for us, not for them.
Maybe it's not painful for them.
I think they are like, this is how I am. This is how I work. It's going to get done. Don't you worry.
That could be another secret.
Yeah. For the outside people, it's like,
Yes, exactly. So that might be their closest held secret,
yeah,
if you think
about
it.
They're like, this is how I am. I'm going to get it done. It's just going to take me 16 hours with a 15-hour deadline. Boom. I'm like, okay,
and
you got it.
What we're really talking about is intensity. They love to be intense. So doing something last minute under pressure creates a lot of intensity. But we always say to them, wouldn't you rather go have fun with the hang gliding or ride a roller coaster instead of putting tons of pressure
what
on
do
yourself?
They say?
Well, I don't. Again, I'm not sure it's conscious that they wait so long on their deadlines, but they usually agree that they would rather do fun things that are intense than.
I don't know anyone who hang glides.
Yeah, I don't either.
But I do think they like roller coasters, maybe.
Unless they think they're unsafe.
I don't know. If someone said to you, do you want to go hang gliding, roller coaster, or go to work? I don't know what I would pick.
Really?
I'm not sure.
Because you don't like hang gliding
I don't
or
like,
roller coasters.
I've never hang glided.
Yes.
I don't really like roller coasters. Now the new modern ones, the modern roller coasters, like scare the crap out of me. Okay? Because you scream and nothing comes out because they made them so steep and fast and crazy. Have you been to a park lately?
Yes.
They're like 30 people with their arms up screaming. Nothing's coming out because there's so much pressure on their diaphragm that no faint sound comes out. It's terrifying for those looking on. They're like, this is the best ever.
Well, Jay, remember, you have water thirds.
Yeah,
so
I'm in panic mode.
You're in the panic mode. But I will say,
so I think I'm going to pick work. I'm going to pick work.
It's a very good point, though, Jay, because not all waters are going to be the same. every water thinks an enjoyable, intense thing to do is different. And someone who likes hang gliding, another water would be terrified by that and would never do it. But they might do something else that would be scary to the hang glider person.
Like what? Like ride their bike without a helmet?
I don't know.
You know, they're always wearing their helmets.
They're always wearing their helmets. But it could be even public speaking.
Oh, that terrifies a lot of
right?
water.
Some waters are terrified, but some love it.
Yeah,
I guess. I mean, most of them don't love it at first, but once they get the hang of it.
What if they're performing?
As
soon as they get
actors,
the hang gliding of it?
Yeah.
performers. We know there's so many water performers. Yes. So that has to be something that they eventually like they do it.
And it's terrifying. So waters pick things that take a lot of courage.
I agree with that 100%.
And that's what makes it intense.
Yeah.
And that's always true for waters. It's just what they pick is going to be very different.
It could be going to the grocery store. Could be intensity.
It could be if you have fear of going out. Yeah, it
could be intensity of picking an orange or an apple.
There you go.
Ah!
Well, decisions are very difficult for waters because remember we said waters like to go down all paths down
the
mountain.
Get one of each fruit and then you're all set.
So one of the challenges that we're going to talk about later is their decision-making struggle.
One of each fruit. That's how the fruit basket was invented. They couldn't decide.
There you go.
I don't know who really invented the fruit basket, but don't you think that they couldn't decide?
Yeah.
I want to give them all apples. I want to give them all oranges. I want to give them a pie. I'm going to give them one of everything because I can't take that pressure of deciding.
It definitely is a water issue.
This is a crazy podcast.
Thank you, Jay.
All over the place.
Thank you.
Yes. You said go water. I'm going water.
Water is all over the place.
Yes.
So we talked a little bit about maybe they'd be good EMTs and crisis management.
And kindergarten, first grade teachers.
Yes. But they also are just really good in emergencies. If you have an emergency, you better hope that there's a water around because they just know instinctively what needs to be done in the moment.
Yeah, I agree 100%.
And so,
unless it's picking fruit, then they might be. I don't know.
They're the ones who end up like doing really amazing things, like to save someone's life or something. But they just do that. They don't think about it. They just do it.
I agree.
And one of the things we say, the reason they can do that is they have this innate knowing, and we like to call it trust with a capital T.
Yeah, that's definitely a water superpower. And when I'm working with people, they usually have lost that, or it's frozen, or it's hidden. So we have to work on getting that out, because the trust with a capital T is definitely a superpower.
Yeah, and it's really, when we say that, we mean they trust kind of the universe, the divine, that there's something bigger in life that they can just, like, they can believe that they will know what needs to be done in the moment.
Right.
So they don't have to worry about the
future. I used to write on my board, I've done it like 100 times, so if you've already heard this, I write, trust in the moment, you will always make the right decision.
Yeah.
Like, so they have to get that trust back. So when they lose that trust, then sometimes they get stagnant in their water flow and a little pond forms, or they get frozen and they can't make any decisions. So then they put their head in the sand and they make no decisions.
Yep.
So I always say, you just got to do anything, something, baby, get a little bit of momentum, that inertia
to get
trickle
going again.
Yeah, to get that. I like that inertia. That was a good thing to start to feel like that trust will come back.
Yeah. And then the little trickle of water comes out of the frozen water and then it gets a little bigger and more melts and then it starts flowing again.
Yeah. I think that, you know, I often deal with a lot of water people, and that is, you know, trust goes hand in hand with fear.
Yeah.
So they start to get afraid that they're going to make the wrong decisions.
Right.
So that's another deeper conversation.
And a lot of times they try to throw knowledge at that lack of trust.
I thought you were going to say knives.
Knives. Well, that too.
I'm like, they're going to throw knives. Knives of knowledge.
There you go. Well, knowledge is very important to them. They feel like knowledge is in absence of trust.
Yeah.
They will try to gain more skills, more book learning. How can I know more?
More, more, more. And they're always, almost always super smart people.
So when we talked about the nine palaces, the career/knowledge palace is a water palace. And that means, what do you need to know to do life? Like, what do I need to learn as a young person? What skills do I need? But that's not actual wisdom.
Yeah.
That doesn't help them with the trust. Well,
sometimes when I'm asking someone what they do for a living or what they do for things, and they're like, I have Reiki training and yoga training and crystal training, and they list like 20 things. And I'm like, water.
Yeah. So
because they have this fear that they're not, they don't know enough.
Yes.
They constantly need to bring in knowledge, which is the wisdom. So I'm like, you just have to go do. And I'm like, oh, have you been practicing yoga? No, I never have. But I have the certification. And I have, they don't always, once they get that knowledge, sometimes they go on to the next before they get the wisdom from doing.
Right. So how do you turn knowledge into wisdom? It's through experience.
Right. And I'm not saying every water, but I have talked to a lot of waters and.
Right.
They just.
It happens a lot.
They're on to the next certification or class or.
Yep.
Now the which thing, is great because we need that, right?
Right. And both career/knowledge and wisdom are palaces of the nine palaces that are related to water. And but what they're trying to get to is that wisdom is the inner knowing, that knowing you talked about, that in any moment they'll know what to do. And you really can't prepare for that. You just have to have experiences.
Yeah, and I just say that's your superpower. That comes out of you no matter what.
And that's the trust with a capital T.
Right.
So, you know, in terms of like that idea that they can freeze, why does it happen? Why does that freeze happen? And it's because usually they're afraid of a specific outcome. And water doesn't do well with that. Like, they really need to live in a state of anything is possible. And when they see one possibility that they just will avoid no matter what, they would rather stop moving altogether and freeze than to allow that possibility.
Well, I'm going to go back to the fruit basket because some waters can't decide what goes in the fruit basket. Some waters say, I don't give a shit what's in the fruit basket. And some people say, I don't even want to talk about a fruit basket.
Yes.
Like that's like they can't even go down that thing. They'll give a gift certificate or a gift card.
Yeah, right.
So you have all those are can be water.
Right.
Right. Like I can't decide. I don't care. You know, I don't give a flip. Well, I'm going to flay a fluck. I don't give a fluck or... Don't even, too much pressure.
A fluck of birds?
A fluck of fruit.
Okay.
Well, you mean a fluck of seagulls?
Yeah, there you go. A fluck of seagulls.
No, it's a fluck of fruit. We're doing fruit analysis.
Well, okay, let's go back to the fruit. So what happens when you're sitting there trying to make a decision and there's all these different types of fruit to decide on? And what happens to water in that moment is they want to extrapolate every single path down the mountain. They want to like look forward on this path, on this path, on this path, on this path. And then they want to like figure it out before they even made the decision. So like that's how the fruit basket was born.
The fruit mountain.
Yes.
Or Fruit Ninja. Remember that game? You slice the fruit video game? Definitely a water game.
Yes.
Right. But no, it's true. Like, you know, sometimes it's painful. I have a lot of water friends. And I really think that from my experience, they fall into one of those three categories.
Yeah. And it's just, it can be really plagued by indecision.
Yeah. And it also does depend on what their second is.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But, and we could analyze that a little bit more, but I think it's one of those three. So if you're like, So now, again, trust and fear and indecision.
Yeah.
And they also do not like confrontation.
Yes.
Yeah.
So they really hate confrontation.
Yeah. More, I think more than any element.
Yeah.
Yeah. What's up there? I mean, no element likes confrontation.
Yes.
But
they'll avoid it.
Yes. That's why I said the head in the sand.
Yes.
You know, they just hope that everything's going to go whoosh right by.
Yeah. And sometimes the way they avoid confrontation is they get really mad, but they just deal with that internally. They don't actually express it. And so it they'll go.
Are they stuffing?
They'll stuff that in. They'll put their head in the sand for quite a long time, like
definitely.
Months and months and months before they'll say something to someone or confront them.
Yeah.
Because I think they think if they can resolve it within themselves, then they will never have to confront the person.
Or maybe they're waiting for just the right moment.
Yes.
And it doesn't come for a long time.
Yes.
Yeah. I would say that is a challenge for water. Yeah, for sure.
So let's talk about how we can see the waters in the world around us.
So many different ways.
Yes.
So many different ways.
And there are definitely characteristics that will help you if you're trying to figure out who's water in your life. And
or yourself.
Yes. And you know that we talk about the walks. How do people walk?
Yes.
And waters do what we call skating. So what does that look like?
Well, remember, go back to that engine in the back there. Vroom, vroom, vroom.
In your kidneys.
And then put the ice skates on.
Yes. So if you just have all that power in the lower back, it's going to push your pelvic area forward, and you literally look like you're skating, not sliding the feet on the ground, but just above the ground. It's like a smooth walking with their feet.
And it can be slow or fast.
Yes.
Right? It can be slow or fast. Remember, it could be the camel.
Yes.
I can't think of a fast animal, but it could be a fast animal.
And it could be a fast animal.
I don't know.
It can be like herky jerky, and it can be like 1 minute going slow and then accelerating suddenly, jerking forward in a rush, or, you know, it's not predictable.
Well, it's also a great way to describe the way they dance.
Yeah, there you go.
The herky jerky.
The herky jerky.
For hours and hours.
Yeah, and definitely it can be a slow motion saunter or very, you know, fast paced.
Yeah,
and
definitely.
The voice can be like this gravelly, groany voice, like, you know, just like, you
know.
That
was good.
Yeah,
that's really
like
good.
Talking like this. And one thing that you'll notice often is there'll be periods where they're stopping and starting, but they're kind of like hesitate, like, is Jay going to say something maybe? Like, in
she going to bring up that camel again?
No,
one more fruit. No, stop.
I have to like anticipate if Jay's going to say something. So I might stop in the middle of my sentence and.
Oh. A camel walks into a fruit bar. No, I'm sorry. Just saying, it can be dramatic or traumatic or really deep and wise.
And then the next minute, it might be a run-on sentence where there are no periods and no commas, and it just keeps going and going and going. And then finally, it might peter out to the end of a story, and then it might be hesitating again and just...
Again, it's unpredictable.
Yes.
Yeah, and they love to build the crescendos. They love to tell stories like that are build and build and
dramatic
build.
Dramatic stories need crescendos.
Yes.
It's like, you know, it's going to start and it's going to get more and more intense, and you're going to wonder what's going to happen at the end of the story, and then they're going to finish the story, and then it might stop and start again.
So that was really good.
Yeah.
I was like, what's the story? Tell me.
And the voice is actually often monotone, especially when it's that run-on sentence. And sometimes, though, for dramatic effect, it can go high up or, you know, go low down. But then once it gets going again, it's more monotone. So, you know, you'll hear this like monotone when it's on that run-on sentence.
Sure, they do the run-ons.
And sometimes it's very funny. They're laughing hysterically, or, you know, it's whatever that story is, whatever they're sharing, it's going to be funny or dramatic or intense. It's going to be all of those things.
It's always fun.
Yeah. And the eyes are interesting. They can be the hardest to sort of see, because there's really two different modes that, in terms of, like, we've talked a lot about, like, for example, eyes wide open can look like earth, but waters can have eyes really wide open too. The earth eyes are softer. We call it that doe-eyed look.
Bambi
yeah,
eyes.
But water eyes are wide-eyed and vigilantly taking in everything and looking at everything around them. So it's an intensity in those wide eyes as opposed to the softness of earth.
Right. Then you have the cat-like slit eyes.
Yes.
That, you know, they're like also vigilantly watching.
Yes.
But they're like, they look like cat eyes.
Yes, because they're like focusing on everything around them.
Yeah.
So the eyes are more, you know.
They even really do sometimes look like cat eyes.
Yeah,
yeah,
they really do. And then, like, fashion in terms of water.
My favorite.
Very eclectic, especially in their clothing.
Definitely.
Yeah.
They love to be ahead of the fashion curve.
Very much ahead.
Yes.
Meaning
they,
not the coolest.
I think that I love water. I think water dressers are very cool.
They are very cool. So
even if they're dressing nerdy, they're cool.
Yeah. I mean, if you think of Billie Eilish, you know, like, she's always been a little bit like
No, not, she's a lot bit not, whatever the next word is.
Well, she's not the coolest, like what everyone else is wearing. She's going to wear something no one else is wearing.
Right, absolutely. And be cool doing it.
And be cool doing
it. Yeah, definitely.
But it might look a little geeky, a little nerdy, a little quirky, a little different.
Yeah, absolutely. And she is all of those things. So she is right now our water fashion icon.
Yeah.
For
and,
sure.
And it's like...
She's bumped Bjork's swan off the platform.
Yes.
Bjork is now number two with the swan.
Yes.
Billie Eilish, every day, something different.
She's a trendsetter.
She's a trendsetter.
Yeah. But what does that mean? That means she's bold enough to be different and unapologetic about who she is. And so what does that mean? She's courageous. And that is a feature of water, having a lot of courage, being bold. That's what they do.
Yeah, and she's got a good fashion designer.
She's a stylist. Yes.
She's got a good stylist. And yes. I love her look and everything about it. So yeah, so that's a good person to go look at if you want to see the hip modern water look right now.
The other thing that you can notice about waters in the world is they have kind of two modes. We always say this, right? Two modes. One is they can't sit still. The other is they love to lie down talking and hanging out, like on the ground. They love to be horizontal. So if they're hanging out with friends, they love hanging out on the floor and like talking in their gravelly voice and like maybe talk all night and hang out. And yet in like at work or in a classroom, if they're kids or whatever, they're going to be the foot tappers, the wigglers, the pen tappers.
Looking at the clock, got to go.
Yes.
Probably getting in trouble with the wood kids who are also getting in trouble.
Yes.
Because they're bored. They're visual learners in a non-visually learning system.
Whereas the waters, they just have a hard time sitting still unless they're really, really intensely into something.
Yeah.
They want to go out and play and they just love to be, you know, moving their bodies. They like humor, like slapstick humor.
They probably like the Madagascar way back in the old day. They gotta move it. It was a very silly water movie.
They love to be silly. They are the natural comedians of the world, which makes me think, Jay, let's talk about the celebrities.
Celebrities. Okay, I'll do the women because it's right on my mind. And speaking of that, another great water person who's up and coming or is already here is Jenna Ortega.
Yes.
Then you have Helena Bonham Carter, who is eclectic and scary at the same moment. She's amazing. Zooey Deschanel, Billie Eilish, we already said, Whoopi Goldberg, Jennifer Lawrence, Hunger Games, and a lot of other movies. Demi Moore, Greta Gerwig, Miley Cyrus, Cyndi Lauper, Bjork, again, number two now on the fashion. Kate Bush, Sia, she's in the top three as well.
Yes.
Quirky, crazy, all kinds of cool stuff. Tracy Chapman.
Yes. You know? Definitely like got some metal there too. Very quiet.
Yeah.
But definitely got the water vibe. And for the men, like Justin Timberlake, David Byrne, Jack Black, Russell Brand, Jay-Z, Jim Carrey, Kevin Hart, a lot of comedians.
A lot of big celebs on the guy's side.
Yeah. There's Kendrick Lamar, Peter Jackson, John C. Reilly, Quentin Tarantino in those movies. They're very, you know, water intense. Channing Tatum, Robin Williams, Tiger Woods, Harry Styles, The Weeknd, Bill Gates, Billy Joe Armstrong, Vance Joy, Lil Nas X, Michael Jackson, Adam Sandler, Bob Marley, His Holiness the Dalai Lama is also water, and Sacha Baron Cohen.
Oh, I like how you put that in order.
Yeah.
The Dalai Lama and then Sacha Baron Cohen.
I like the juxtaposition of the extreme silliness.
The Dalai Lama would probably appreciate that.
He would appreciate
too.
That, wouldn't he?
He's got this crazy water humor, yes.
But every water person is extremely silly and extremely deep.
Yeah.
I'm sure Sacha Baron Cohen.
Do you remember when we saw the Dalai Lama in Boston?
Yes.
And he had the baseball hat on sideways, and I don't know, someone tooted, like farted, and he's like, somebody farted. And we were like, the Dalai Lama is laughing at a fart. And we were like, what? It was hysterical. It was like a surreal moment in time.
He
was so beautiful. It was beautiful.
Sense of humor.
Yeah, it was beautiful.
I think as incredibly deep as any water can be, they can be that silly.
Yeah.
In any, instantaneously, the next moment.
I know. Like, you got the Dalai Lama laughing at a fart joke with a baseball hat on sideways. Hello. That's pretty cool. I love that.
So what does water really want, Jay?
How many more secrets can we possibly give? I would say, if you asked me that, I would say they like to have playmates that help you do the silly and the spontaneous with them.
Yeah.
I don't think they like to be alone a lot. I think they like to have, they can be alone. They do like to maybe live alone or be alone. But I think when they're having fun and playing, they like an audience or a partner or a playmate.
Yes. Because I think they really want to matter to someone.
Yeah. Well, that's
really
for sure.
important.
That's a big secret.
That's a huge secret. They do want to matter. They want to matter at their jobs. They want to matter to their significant others.
In the world, their children, their parents.
Yes. They want to do something important. They're very ambitious.
Definitely.
And they want to matter. So they want to do intense things, but they want someone to do it with.
Yeah. Two waters together is an amazing. They'll have a lot of fun. They'll play. They'll be crazy. They'll be fun. And it'll go up and it'll go down to like, you know, like crazy and intense and then on the couch and...
Yeah, and they'll
good
get
match.
They'll get each other, which a lot of people don't get waters. It's really challenging to be yourself in this, you know, in this world right now, to be wild and silly and deep and intense, to be loud if you're loud, to be quiet if you're quiet. You know, how do you just be yourself when you're intense and you have this drive and this force inside you?
I know. And as the elements, you know, I always go back to we're all trying to become like water. You know, what does, you know, Bruce Lee say in his famous speech, be like water.
Yeah.
But that's so true.
And the Taoists believe that. They, you know, when we, this whole podcast was based on the concept of Wu Wei, which we've translated as inspired action. And to be in Wu Wei, we basically have to get, as alchemists, we have to get in touch with our own water.
Yes.
Even if your water lacks.
They are the master of the inspired action, the Wu Wei.
Yeah. So if we could take a cue from our water friends, if you're not water already, or even if you are water already, take a cue from yourself and, you know, flow.
Let it go. Put the baseball hat on sideways. Have a fart joke. Let it flow. Be uninhibited.
Yes.
Okay. Laugh. And we laugh with you.
Yes.
Okay. They just want to have some fun, some adventures. They love the wisdom, like we said.
Yeah.
It's great. It's good.
Yeah.
They love to get into the zone, even if they don't know it's the zone.
Yes.
They'll clean their house for 8 hours. Yay.
That's being in the zone.
Then they'll be on the couch for 2 days.
Yes.
That's also beautiful.
Yes.
Yeah.
So perfect. Great.
It's great. So I guess if you want to move it, sometimes move it, sometimes go ahead and move it.
Do it because
Do
that's
it.
You.
That's right. And you will get wisdom just by doing. So trust in the moment that you'll make the right choice.
You already,
every time.
You already know the answers.
You already know the answers.
All right.
Okay. All right. Have a good one.
Bye.
You've been listening to the Inspired Action Podcast and you've reached the end. Woohoo. Why not celebrate a little bit and click that subscribe button right there. We love having you with us on this journey and we want it to continue.
You can also rate and review this podcast. And if you have already, thank you so much. We read all reviews and your reviews help other people find this podcast as well. You can also be a part of this podcast yourself by submitting a voice recording message and emailing it to us at Lita@inspiredactionpodcast.com or Jay@inspiredactionpodcast.com.
And if you want, you can join our Facebook group or follow us on Instagram.
Join us next week for another Inspired Action conversation. And thank you for listening.
Thanks for listening. And remember to hug the dog.
Wait, how is he
going to the bathroom?
Edit that?
I know.
Wait a minute.
Cut that out. So I'm so sorry. I'm in silly mode now.
That's water mode.
I know. I'm in play mode. Okay. Okay. Let's go. Wherever we are.